For WNCW, I'm Joe Kendrick with the conclusion on our two-part series on refugees in our region. With increasing fears of terrorist attacks in the United States, many people are in favor of curtailing or halting altogether the influx of refugees, particularly from countries like Syria. I asked Carolina Refugee Resettlement Agency Executive Director Marcia Hirsch about the issue.
One of the first things to consider is the type of people that wind up being resettled. The bulk of them are families and children and people that will need an exceptional amount of protection because they're so vulnerable. And so the purpose of this process is really to protect families that will not be able to return to their home countries. The fact is that the bulk of the people that come into the country are families and children. And so there's no information that would indicate that refugees that have entered the country are involved in terrorist activities of any nature. And given the intensive vetting process that takes place, along with the length of time that people wind up being refugees, it doesn't seem on a practical basis to be the type of folks that would really be involved in such activities.
Those who remain unconvinced that the current vetting process for refugees can keep out potential terrorists include North Carolina Governor Pat McCrory and 11th District Congressman Mark Meadows, who have both called for a ban on Syrian refugees coming here. Ann Corcoran, editor of Refugee Resettlement Watch, talks with WNCW News Director Paul Foster about her concerns.
Before I get to the usual big concerns, which are terrorism and fears of who we're letting in and the costs and all of that, one of my big concerns and one of my driving forces in writing this blog that I've been writing for 9 years is that I think citizens have a right to know what's going to happen to their towns, and that they usually – Asheville is a proposed new resettlement site. I'm not sure if they've started to bring the refugees into Asheville yet or not. The bottom line is citizens usually are the last to hear that their town has now been chosen, and the State Department has now chosen, we are told, 47 new sites, I think Asheville being one of them. My biggest factor of concern is this whole transparency secrecy issue. I think citizens should have a right to have some advance notice, some discussion, some public debate. But to a very large degree, I call them subcontractors. These are these agencies working at a local level, are making plans for communities when the community as a whole has no idea that this is coming. Then, of course, the two big issues that citizens are not fully aware of, but they are concerned about and they want to hear more about, is one, who are we bringing? Can they be screened? And secondly, is the issue of taxpayer dollars going to this. Refugees are eligible for all forms of welfare upon arrival, food stamps, they get subsidized housing and often get in line, I'm told, in some communities ahead of some of the local people that need that subsidized housing and so on. The big issues are economics, terrorism, and transparency.
Refugees have faced an array of challenges before getting to the U.S., and those do not end once they receive government assistance to make a new start here. I asked the Thakur Mishra, Health Promotion Case Manager at Carolina Refugee Resettlement Agency, about some of the hurdles he faced.
One of the biggest challenges for me personally was being resettled in one of the world's largest cities, which is the New York City. I had never seen a train in my life. So taking subways in a New York City was way challenging than I had anticipated.
I don't think you're alone in that. I've been on the subways in New York too.
And then another thing was the culture shock that I had. But thankfully, I had some language skill, which was not a big challenge. And now that I work with other refugees coming from several parts of the world, I feel that language could be one of the challenges that they might be facing. And then depending on which part of the world they are coming from, then I think culture shock could be another big challenge for refugees.
After being in the U.S. for 1 year, refugees are required to apply for their permanent residency, or green card. They can go on to become naturalized citizens, which Tagore did. I asked him whether he would want to return to his birth country of Bhutan if the political climate changed there.
That's one of the toughest questions I have ever felt. It depends. The government's claim alone that there is a democracy in the country and that everything will be secure will not only guarantee that it's a secure environment to return. So even if the government claims that everything is okay, the only question I would keep asking is it really okay? And the moment I feel like it's really okay, there is no harm returning back to the country where I was born and then raised for 7 years. But I don't see myself returning to my home country permanently. That's because this country, the United States, has done more good to me than the country where I was born. So I think I will continue to stay here and contribute as much as I can, rather to this country than to the country where I was born, but that didn't count me as its citizen and kicked me along with other thousands of people out of the country. But I would love to go there visit.
We're speaking with Tagore Mishra, Health Promotion Case Manager at Carolina Refugee Resettlement Agency on WNCW this morning. Thank you for your time.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
This story is just a glimpse at refugee resettlement in our region and the United States and the debate over the issue. My full interviews with Marsha Hirsch and Tagore Mishra, as well as Paul Foster's full interview with Ann Corcoran, are podcast on our website at wncw.org.